thank you, man. For sake of time today, we will not have a special. So take your Bible, turn it to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sorry about the change in that. We'll get that fixed in just a moment for you. Get a more normal sound out of that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you just stood for the song, so I will not have you stand again. But you find that place in your New Testament, and let's get this normal, please. It's not normal this morning. So you find that place in your New Testament. We're looking down at verse number 14 and 15. And, of course, it's going to fit right along with the theme of our special day today on this special Youth Emphasis Sunday. So Paul is the author, as far as the human pen goes, of this letter to Timothy. And he says in verse number 14, 2 Timothy chapter 3, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So I want to speak this morning on this subject as we get the sound fixed: kids and the Bible. Kids and the Bible. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you today for the privilege of having this special Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of running buses to areas and picking up boys and girls. That's just a portion of them that we heard from this morning. And I pray, God, that you will help them now in their classes as they're taught the very book that I'm preaching from, that, Lord, they will absorb the truths of your word. Help us to absorb the truth as well. Speak to our hearts from this passage. Fill us with your spirit, both speaker and listener. May you help us today, God, please. We need it. In Jesus' name, and amen. Take a moment, if you will, especially if you are a member here, and reflect on how much time and energy and effort and people and money and other things are invested through this ministry for children. Now, you think about just that, and I'm talking about including teenagers, okay? Including young people, teenage young people. When you add it all up, and I'm not talking about just Sunday. I'm talking about all week, okay? When you take all those things and you add it all up, it's a very significant investment. And we make no apology for making that investment. None whatsoever. We're very grateful for all the volunteers. If I had the people stand in this room who in any way, shape, or form are involved in a kids' ministry, like we have that children's workers ministry once a year, there'd be well over 100 people standing who are involved in some way in children's ministry here at Faith Baptist Church. To you, we are very grateful, okay? A church without kids can be a very dull place. Now, a church with a lot of kids can be a very torn up place. But I'll take the kids and have the torn up place. You remember, I told this years and years ago, and God was in the act of creation, and He created the dog. And He said, "Dog, now, here's what you're going to do. You're going to sit on the front porch and bark at everybody that goes by and give everybody fits as they pass by. And for that, I'm going to give you a lifespan of 20 years. And the dog said, "Lord, that's an awful long time to be sitting on the front porch barking at people. How about if I do it for 10 and give you back 10 years? I can handle that for 10 years. And so the Lord said, "Okay." And then He created the monkey. And He said, "Now, monkey, you're different than the dog. You are going to jump around and do tricks and make people laugh and entertain folks. And for that, I'm going to give you a lifespan of 20 years. And the monkey caught on to what the dog was saying, you know, and he said, "That sounds like an awful long time to jump around and do tricks. How about if I do what the dog did? I'll do it for 10 years and give you back 10. And the Lord was accommodating, and He said, "Okay, that would be fine." Then He created the cow, and He said, "Cow, you're completely different from the first two. You're going to labor in the sun to feed the farmer's family. You're going to give milk. You're going to birth calves. You're going to work out in the heat and the cold all year long, all year round, and I'm going to give you a lifespan of 60 years. And the cow nearly fainted. He thought, 60 years of laboring in the sun. He said, "Lord, how about if I do it for a third? How about if I do it for 20 years and give you back 40? And the Lord already had done for the dog and the monkey. So He said, "Okay." Then He created man. He said, "You got it made." He said, "You're going to eat, sleep, drink, play, and get married. And for that, I'm going to give you a lifespan of 20 years. And boy, the man started thinking about that. Eat, drink, sleep, play, get married. Sounds like a great life. Only 20 years, though. Then he had an idea. He said, Lord, thank you. He said, how about if I take my 20, take the 40 that the cow gave back, take the 10 that the monkey gave back and the 10 that the dog gave back, that'll give me a lifespan of 80 years. And the Lord said, okay, but you asked for it. So that's why for the first 20 years we eat, sleep, drink, play, get married. For the next 40 years we labor in the sun to feed the family. The next 10 years we jump around and do tricks to entertain the grandchildren. And the last 10 years we sit on the front porch and bark at everybody that goes by. So you kind of figure out where you are in life by what's going on. Have we got some barkers here this morning? Huh? I feel like I'm almost there sometimes. But anyway, a church without kids would be dull. It would be boring. I'm thankful for the gray-haired senior saints that we've got here. I'm thankful. And they bring a maturity, and we got a lot of moving around this morning, folks. Let's try to get situated and settled. This is what I talked about last Sunday. If we could just get situated and settled here, okay? And we only got about 20 minutes to preach, and I just told a joke for 5 minutes. That wasn't very smart, was it? But anyway, hey, I'm thankful for the youth, thankful for the kids, okay? Now, Paul writes this disciple of his, Timothy, a letter, and he encourages Timothy to continue in the things that he had learned. He said that in verse number 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Timothy, there's no need to change your faith. There's no need to change the tenets of what you've been taught to believe. You do not need to adjust. Now hear me, church. I'm not preaching on this, but it's a good place to put it in. You do not need to adjust what you believe to fit the culture of your day. I'm tired of that. How many different cultures of the day has there been, people? There's only one faith. Once delivered. Once delivered. Now, you may have to be innovative in how you get your message of what you believe out to those who need to hear the truth. But you don't change the faith because the culture's changing. You don't adjust the tenets of what we believe to what the... By the way, did you read about or hear about that ruling in, was it Britain or somewhere over in the European continent recently, where the highest court in the, whatever country it was told a group of Christians, your Bible, your beliefs in the Bible do not fit the way society is today. That's what the highest court in the land ruled in that particular country, as you get the details for you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if our principles from the Word of God don't fit the culture. We hold to them. We stick with them. So he said, Timothy, you've been taught right. You don't have to change what you believe. He said, you've been taught well. Verse number 14, Timothy had a grandmother named Lois. She had a godly mother named Eunice who taught him. You find that out in 1 Timothy. Paul also taught Timothy, but Lois and Eunice had taught Timothy when he was a young boy, before Paul knew him. Now, in verse number 15 is where I want to draw our attention this morning. The Bible says here that from a child, so Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures from a child. Now, this word child here referring to a very young child, a very young child. In fact, the Greek word that's used here, and I don't do this often, but I did look around a little bit today, or in the previous to this today's message, this week as I was putting this message together. The word child here is translated in other places as the word babe, babes, infant, and children. So I'm saying to you that the word child here is referring to a very young child. A very young child, okay? So from his childhood, Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures, taught by his grandmother, taught by his mother, and later by Paul. Now, people, this is not put in the Bible for us by accident. It is here on purpose. God having spoken these words through Paul and having them recorded and preserved these words for us today. Question. Why are there classes going on right now, 6 or 7 classes, as I speak to you? Why are there 6, 7, 8 different classes going on right now, maybe more than that, where children are being taught God's Word? All those kids you just saw up here, right now in smaller classes are being taught God's Word. So are the Spanish children upstairs. Why were there classes last hour at 10 o'clock where children were taught God's Word? Why were there, will there be classes this afternoon where little children will be taught God's Word? Why were children given a handout yesterday, these kids up here, and encouraged to commit a verse from God's Word to memory? Why will children go over Bible verses tonight and be encouraged to memorize them and say them to the listeners? Why are there Bible classes Monday through Friday in every grade at our school? Why will dads and moms sit down with their kids at home this week and have a Bible story? Why? Because kids can learn God's Word. Kids can learn God's Word. They can, and we've experienced it. But can I say something? The Bible is not true because we have experienced it. The Bible is true whether we experience it or not. We've experienced seeing kids be taught the Bible. But because the Bible says that children can know the Holy Scriptures, that makes it true whether we experience it or not. It's God's Word. Now, let me say three truths to you this morning from verse number 15 that I think are very obvious and evident from the verse. Number one, it is proper to teach the Bible to children as early in life as possible. It is proper to teach the Bible to children as early in life as possible. You say, Pastor, how old do they need to be? Well, you know what I think now? I can't find a Bible verse for this, so this is my opinion. It would not hurt to take a recording of God's Word and play it at low volume in the room where the infant child is sleeping. You say, what? Come on, people. We have all these machines that create waves crashing and birds chirping and elephants trumpeting and all these things that you can play that are, you know, and you're afraid that having the Bible being read is going to mess your kid up? Put the Bible in there. Got all kinds of ways. Look, we had Joyce and I were, and I asked her last night, I was going over my notes last night, and she was sitting across the way in the great room there, and I said, honey, I said, which child was this? I forget. One of our kids had trouble at night waking up crying. Nothing wrong with them. They were out of the diaper stage. Nothing wrong with them. Waking up crying at night. And I don't know where I got the idea. I'm not sure it was original with me. It might have been Brother, I might have asked Brother Brown about it. I don't remember. But to tell you how old this is, we got a portable, now here's a word, young people, Cassette. What is a cassette? Well, it's not as ancient as the 8-track. And that's not as ancient as the old LP album. We got a portable cassette player with a cassette tape that had a man reading the Word of God, and that child would fall asleep. I would sneak in, put that tape player in the room, turn it on, low volume, and let it play as long as that tape went. And after so many nights, that child quit waking up. You say, well, what do you think? I don't know. But it didn't hurt him. Didn't hurt him. How early should you start teaching your child? So as soon as they are able to hear, Mom, you can start quoting Bible verses to them. Yeah. Little children can learn the Scripture. I'm afraid that they will get brainwashed. Listen, people. If you're not living with your eyes wide open about the culture of our day, you're making a big mistake. This thing is on a toboggan run down. You're afraid of brainwashing your children with Bible truth? I think there are bigger things to be afraid of than that. I've told you before, I don't know if we have those still at home. My wife used to take Bible verses. This is when the kids were preschool age. Used to take Bible verses and sit down and have a picture on one side and a verse on the other. For instance, if the memory verse for that little child was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," she might have had a picture of a shepherd and a sheep on one side and the Bible verse written on the other. And she would teach those children those Bible verses at a very early age. Let me tell you again, there are a whole lot of things to fear greater on earth than brainwashing your child with God's Word. I think I'd put that at the bottom of my fear list. Put that at the bottom. Teach your kids the Word of God. If your kids need anything today, they need to know the truth of God's Word. Okay? It is proper to teach the kids at a very early age the Word of God. Let me say number two this morning. It is promised that teaching the Bible to children will make them wise about salvation. Now look at verse number 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." People, the simple or the single most important teaching in the Bible is about salvation. Now, the Bible is the revelation of God. So we get the knowledge of God from the Bible. That's wonderful. We get the knowledge about the depravity of man from the Bible. That's necessary to know. We get the knowledge of eternal life in heaven. We get the knowledge of eternal death in hell. But you understand, folks, that people can know all of those things and still not go to heaven? The single most important teaching in this book is the salvation of a lost sinner. And Paul said that the Scriptures are able. Did you hear what he said? Not your little trickery. Not you're plugging something into their computer. The Scriptures are able. The Word of God. To make them wise. You know, people come to me, young couples start having little children, and often they come and say, "Hey, what did you do about your kids and salvation and how early?" And listen, we want to tell them and tell them and tell them. Well, what are you telling them? Are you giving them the Scripture? It's the Scripture that makes a child wise about salvation. It's the Scripture. And by the way, can I put this plug in right here? The Bible says that Timothy from a child had known the Holy Scriptures. What Holy Scriptures did Timothy have? Yes, let me get to that in just a moment. He was the pastor of the church of Ephesus. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians in 64 A.D., He's the pastor. He writes the letter, the epistle to the Ephesians in 64 A.D. He wrote this letter in 66 A.D. So it's a good chance that Timothy had the letter to the Ephesians, right? Good chance. He might have had the book of Romans. I don't know how widely disseminated all of those epistles were to all those different cities in that area of the world. I don't know. Some of them were written later than the book of Ephesians. I don't know. He probably had the epistle to the Ephesians, but one thing we know he had the Old Testament. He had that. And did you see what it says? That the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise, now watch this, unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Do you see any mention of works in that text? Do you see any mention of maintaining the Old Testament law in that text? No, sir. Well, in the Old Testament, it taught a different salvation. Really? Where'd you get that? I know, off the internet. And you can believe the internet. No. Those Old Testament Holy Scriptures made Timothy wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There's only been one way of being saved, folks, from the beginning of time to the end of time. But what about that verse in Ezekiel? I don't know about that one verse in Ezekiel, but I'm really not worried because I've got so many verses that teach me the only way God ever made for a sinner to go to heaven is through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son Jesus, plus nothing, minus nothing. It's settled for me. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so may preach. I don't care. Look at your text. That's what that book says. That those holy scriptures that Timothy had, basically the Old Testament, made it clear to him that salvation was through faith in Christ Jesus. There's only one plan of salvation. How are you going to heaven? You going to heaven because of your faith plus your baptism? There's some that teach that. You going to heaven through your faith and trying to hang on and be good? That's hopeless. I'll tell you something. I wasn't good enough to be saved. And I can't be good enough to keep myself saved. Neither can you. It's faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is promised that teaching the Bible will make children wise about salvation. The only salvation that has ever been. So it's proper to teach the Bible to kids at a very early age in life. It is promised that teaching the Bible will make children wise about salvation. Let me say lastly this morning, it is possible, number three, it is possible for children who are taught the Bible to get saved as children. Now, I'm not sure where the idea came from that kids can't be saved until age 12. I know Reformed type churches and denominations teach that type of thing. You know, it's interesting, that Left Behind series that Tim LaHaye wrote and somebody else, you know what I'm talking about, the Left Behind series. That Left Behind series, when the rapture takes place, all kids 10 and under go to heaven. All of them. All of them. But I don't find that in the Bible. I don't find that in Scripture. I find David's little baby going to heaven. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. When the knowledge of sin arises in a child's heart, that child has reached the age of accountability. When does that happen? Probably different for different kids. Do you know that some kids, you know what a transgression is? A transgression is another word for sin in the Bible. A transgression is what happens when you break a law and don't know you've broken it. It's a transgression. You're going into a town, there's no speed limit signs. They took all the speed limit signs down to redo them, put new ones up. And as they went, you go into town, pretty soon here's the lights behind your vehicle and the policeman pulls you over. You look at him with a stunned look and say, what's going on? I said, man, he said, you how fast? You're going 35 miles an hour. And he said, yeah, I'm just going 35. The speed limit's 20. He said, well, but where's that? There's no signs. Well, it doesn't matter. It's the speed limit. People, there are boys and girls. And we used to say, boys and girls in Africa, and boys and girls in communist China. There's boys and girls here in the United States of America who've never been taught what sin is. They don't know the commandments. Let me tell you something, all those, that's why you have to be careful with a little child. This is me speaking as the pastor of this church to all who work with young people. You can't take 6 and 7 year old kids who know beans about the Bible, teach them the story about the 3 Hebrew children, and at the end, now do you want to go be with the 4th man in the fire? Pray this prayer. That's not salvation. That's the abuse of a child's soul. I don't care who that hair lips. That's the nice thing about getting a little older. You don't give a rip. What are you saying? 4-year-olds can't be saved? 4-year-old lady? No. A 4-year-old lady. There's a lady over here who got saved at age 4 and never has doubted it. Raised in a Christian home, Christian mother. I'm just saying kids come to the age of accountability at different ages. But when that kid learns, when the knowledge of sin becomes clear to that child, they are now at the age of accountability. You think that doesn't happen in all kids till age 10? I know better. Some of your kids go to school here. Huh? Oh, there's knowledge of sin. Oh, yes, there is. At different ages. And as soon as that knowledge of sin arises in that child's mind's understanding, they are... So you're telling me that that child comes to the knowledge of sin at age 7 but can't get saved until age 12? I don't find that in the Scripture. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Sounds sweet. A whole lot of things sound nice and sweet that aren't biblical. No. Children can get saved when children come to the age of accountability where they are understanding of the knowledge of sin and understand that Jesus Christ died for them, rose again, was buried, rose again, and that simple faith in Him. Look, I don't know how old Timothy was when he got saved. I know Samuel was a child when God started speaking to his heart. I know Josiah was 8 years old when God started speaking to his heart. This idea of, you know, this lordship salvation, that in order to get saved, you have to commit your life to Christ and make Him Lord. Really? Now, what book did you read that out of? Because you didn't read that out of this book. So you're telling me that since you got saved, you've never lived a day uncommitted to the Lord? Man, listen, you can be the pastor of this church. That's lordship salvation. It's subtle, but it's out there. It's on the airwaves. It's in the Calvinist teaching. In the Reformers teaching. That you make Christ the Lord of your life and commit your life to Him, and then you're saved. Can you see the Philippian jailer? Dust all over him, scared to death. Paul, what must I do to be saved? Well, first of all, you've got to commit your life fully to Christ and trust Him as the Lord. And why don't we just believe what we read? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. Not a 4-step process. But that sounds very intellectual, doesn't it? It sounds very heretical, if you ask me. Simple faith. Here we're done. Mark chapter 10. Let's look at it. Mark chapter 10. So let's go to Jesus here, see what Jesus is going to say about all this. Mark chapter 10. Well, the child's got to come to the understanding of this and got to come to the understanding of this and the child's got to be this. And well, in Mark chapter 10, verse number 13, are you there? And they brought, what's the next 2 words? Young children. To Him that He should touch them. So, you know, we don't know if they were saved or not, but they brought young children to Him that He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked those that wrote, don't bother Jesus with these small children. He's got bigger fish to fry. But when Jesus saw it, He was what? Much displeased. and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So he says to all the adults standing around, see this little kid? He doesn't have to come to the understanding of an adult to be saved. All of you have to come to the simple faith of this child. Mr. Intellectual. It's right here. It's heart faith. Believing in. Believing on. Trusting in simple faith. Jesus Christ. And a 7-year-old boy or a 6-year-old girl who has the understanding of the knowledge of their sin, and they know they've told lies to daddy and mommy, and they know God says, thou shalt not bear false witness. And they come to that understanding, and they hear the story of Jesus and his love for them in simple faith. They embrace it. And Jesus says, that's enough. That's enough. That's why right now there's 8 classes where they're being taught the Word of God. That's why last hour there was classes where they're taught the Word. That's why this afternoon there'll be classes where they're taught the Word of God. It's proper to do it when they're early in life. It's promised that it will make them wise unto salvation. And it's very possible for little kids who believe to be saved. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for your book. Thank you for what it teaches us. Help us to be people of the Bible. Speak to our hearts this morning. Thank you for the privilege of serving little children in our Sunday school and bus ministry. Thank you so much for that opportunity and privilege. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. Quickly, just a couple, 3 questions. Let me ask. How many would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I came at some age to the knowledge of sin, and I also came to the knowledge that Jesus loved me enough to die for me, and I know that I'm saved. Would you slip your hand in the air if that's you this morning? Can you say that? Thank you. Take your hands down. Would there be anybody upstairs, downstairs, any side of the auditorium, anywhere who would say, I did not raise my hand just then. I do not know that I am saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here today? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Upstairs, downstairs, member or visitor, doesn't matter. I don't know that I am on my way to heaven. Is there anybody like that? Would you just be honest about it? You don't know that you're saved. If you're here today and you've come to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you know that you should. We have that ready for you. You need to obey Christ in that area. You step out and be obedient to Him this morning. If you are a parent with children at home, if you are a grandparent, please do not underestimate the importance of teaching the Word of God to your young children or grandchildren. Now stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our song begins.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst
me. Would you come this morning? Do you need to be saved? Come just as I am, with the simple faith of a little child, trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, from that awful punishment called hell. Would you come today while we wait? How's it going at home, Dad, Mom? Are you in the Scriptures? So many things crowding our time and eye gates and ear gates today with all kinds of devices and shows. Are they getting the Scripture? Are they getting the Scripture? That's so necessary.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict,
any doubt, would you come get it settled this morning?
Fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just the piano as we're getting ready to dismiss here. I know the message kind of centered on salvation, but don't miss that first point, that it's proper to teach children at an early age the Bible. And families, you know this, although I didn't preach this morning, you know it's not solely the church's job to do that. You know it's the family's responsibility too. And there's so much out there by way of eye gate and ear gate that our kids are exposed to. Make sure you take some time to expose them to the eternal truths of God's Word, please. Father in heaven, bless our service today. That's the preaching. I pray that it'll find a place in our hearts. I know there are many in this room, Lord, whose kids are already grown and gone. Our time of instructing our children is pretty much done, but there are so many, Lord, with little children around. God, help us, please, to make our homes, make this church, these ministries, a place where they are taught consistently the Word of God. Thank you for your Bible, for your book, what it has power to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.